Good morning, everyone. Hope you're doing well. I'm going to call to order the May 22nd, 2019 variance hearing. My name is Corey Teague. I'm the zoning administrator. I'm joined by our executive secretary, Eva Atahera-Taylor. I'm just going to go over some general information about the order of presentation for variance cases. Sponsors and or property owners shall be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how five findings are met to justify a variance. The applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, both supporters and opponents of a proposed variance, shall be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there is any public testimony in opposition to a proposed variance, the applicant is allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal. I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. And at the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement. I may continue the item to a future date, or I may indicate my action on the item today. Items listed on the consent calendar are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator, and if anyone would like to speak on any of those items, please step up when those items are called, otherwise it will be granted. There are currently two items listed on the consent calendar today. Public comment at the end of the hearing shall be allowed for items that are not listed on the agenda. Members of the public are allowed 3 minutes each to speak at that time if they wish. Regarding the criteria for justifying a variance, Section 305C of the Planning Code states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. Finding two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in a practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding four, that the granting of such variance would not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finding five, that the granting of such variance would be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and would not adversely affect the general plan. Please be aware that no decision is actually final until a decision letter is issued. And due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months or more to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of a decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet located at the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. So that's just over there against the wall. The zoning administrator's action to grant or deny a variance application may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the decision letter. And again, no decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Private conversations are very disruptive to the hearing, so please conduct all of those outside the hearing room. Also, the next variance hearing is currently scheduled for June 26, 2019, next month. And audio recordings of variance hearings are available on the Planning Department's website for hearings on or after January 1st, 2011. So with that, we will move on to today's calendar, and we'll start with a couple of housekeeping items. First, item number two for 550 10th Avenue will be moved to the continuance calendar due to the filing of a request for discretionary review, and that item is proposed to be continued to September 5th for a joint hearing with the Planning Commission. And item number four for 63 Rico Way, case number 2018-008250 VAR, was withdrawn, and so it will not be heard today. And with that, we'll move on to the calendar.
We'll start with the first item, which is consideration to be continued to June 26, our regularly scheduled variance hearing. Case number 2018-009883 VAR, 573 Diamond Street, rear yard variance sought. There are two items in one item in our consent calendar. That will be item number three, case number 2017-010336 VAR, 3250 17th Street, rear yard and open space variances sought.
Is there anyone here who would like to speak on the proposed items for continuance or on the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, those items are continued as listed.
Moving to our regular calendar, as we have heard, item number 4 has been withdrawn by the applicant. So now item number 5, case number 2017-005404-VAR, 1765 Leavenworth Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor here? Would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes.
So project at 1765 Leavenworth, we have an existing full lot development on a corner. We have a two-story over basement building that occupies the full footprint of a substandard corner lot, which has a dimension of 20 foot 11 by 57 foot 6 inches. Within the rear yard, there is an existing exterior exit stair, which the project proposes to remove to create open space within the existing rear yard footprint within the above the existing building's ground floor, and a third story addition, which is proposed to have a footprint about 3 feet deeper than the neighboring adjacent property, which would establish the required rear yard dimension. The purpose of the variance is to allow for additional living space on an extremely limited lot. A typical RH3 lot would be 25 feet by 100 feet. The limited size of this lot with a required rear yard would be about 55% of the allowable buildable area. The minimal dimension of the 3 foot extension allows for more usable living space to the unit and would have really no impact on the surrounding area. Being a northern corner, any additional shadow caused by the 3 foot extension would only fall within the building itself or onto a portion of the public sidewalk and not onto any adjacent open space. I'm available for any questions.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I will close the public comment. You're correct, this is obviously a small lot, both in width and in depth. It's also on a corner, and it's pretty well cut off from the established mid-block open space and the rest of the block there. So. I think all of those are factors that would lead me to intend to grant this variance with standard conditions.
Moving to item number 6, case number 2016-000240-VAR, 1322 Wawona Street, front setback variance sought. Is the project sponsor here?
Yes.
5 minutes, sir.
We're looking to add a garage to improve the livability of our home. Given the extreme slope of the lot and the placement of the existing structure, we are requesting a variance of section 132 of the planning code for a front yard encroachment. Our existing building already extends to the front property line, and we feel that the only way to add the garage is to further encroach due to the existing condition. We want to stay in our existing home, but we feel that the garage or not having a garage is limiting our enjoyment of the property. All of our neighbors have garages and we'd like to have one too. Our house was granted a permit to build with a zero setback in 1940. All of our neighbors on Wawona Street were built after that, and all of them were allowed to build up to the front property line due to the slope of their lots. Since we are already a zero setback, we believe we will not affect any of our neighbors. Although our house is going to be built to the property line, it will not appear that way from the street when walking by. There is a city-owned right-of-way in front of our property that we are planning to appropriate landscape so that it will appear as if it's a front yard, minimizing the effect to the neighborhood. Any questions?
No, not for now. Thank you. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, then I will close public comment. Yeah, I do have a few questions, if you don't mind, now that there's no public comment. So just to be clear, taking a look at the plans here, calls out a two-front required front setback. Is the adjacent building at 1328 setback 2 feet? Is that
ground floor?
The site plan, it shows it being kind of flush with its property line, but I don't know if that's just a roof eave and the actual wall of the structure is setback 2 feet. I'm trying to make sure I understand where the 2 foot front setback is coming from.
The ground floor is setback 2 feet. The entire living space is cantilevered over and is on the property line. I did provide some pictures too that show that all of the buildings down the street.
I think they're all that way, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're kind of the second floor, kind of cant. Someone's like a large bay.
Yes.
At the second floor. Okay. They and basically take those to the property line at the bay, but they basically inset it on the ground floor.
Correct.
Okay. Just wanted to verify that. And I also wanted to double check any issues related to height measurement, just to be safe. Do you know if the elevation change from the front of the property to the rear of the property is at least 20 feet? It looks that, I mean, you can kind of infer that it probably is. I don't know that if the plans actually show kind of the rear property line and elevation at that level. I'm assuming it's the same or higher than where the rear yard is, essentially.
From the front of the yard to the back of the yard would be at least 20 feet.
Yeah.
We did do an environmental application because of that and because of the historical.
Right. Okay. And so the information you provided today was really focusing on the garage, which is one aspect of it, but can you talk a little bit more about the proposed bays as well? Because that is the other portion that kind of triggers the front setback.
The bays and the staircase. The existing front stairs is a 9-inch rise and a 9.5-inch step, which is extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
We've had several people fall down it. We are looking to make the house more livable in that the current living room, I think, is 11 feet wide, which is not very appropriate for furnishings and just entertaining. So we were looking to make the living room a little bit bigger by adding the bay and also by extending over approximately 4 feet into the front setback. The project also includes various upgrades to the back of the house that wouldn't be in focus, but the primary thing of the front encroachment is to make a safe walkable stairs that would adhere to code, and then we're also extending the living room a little bit wider to make it more livable.
Okay, thank you very much. Relative to the stairs and the garage, I tend to be generally supportive of the variance for those features for the reasons that you mentioned. I do just want to be safe and make sure that I have time to review the proposals relative to the height measurement, just to be clear, to make sure there's no issue there, because we do have kind of complicated height measurements for RH1 districts, especially when there's slope involved. So I just want to be really safe about that and take a stronger look at the internal layout for the bay issue. So I will take this matter under advisement, and we'll be in touch if we have any additional questions.
Sure. The other thing to mention is the neighbor on 24th Street, which is adjoining, they also have bay windows already extending over that property line too. And the height, we're not planning on increasing the height of the general building.
Right.
At all.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Moving to item number 7, case number 2018-009815 VAR, 1569 48th Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor? Please approach the mic, sir. You have 5 minutes.
Hello, Corey.
Hello.
My name is Robert Newdahl, and so 1569 48th Avenue has two structures on the property. There's a front unit, and then there's a rear structure, which is currently a three-story, two-unit apartment. And I am proposing to turn the three-story, two-unit into a three-story, three-unit apartment, where with feedback from the architectural review board, we are proposing to flatten out the front portion of the roof. However, the rear portion of the roof, which faces all of the neighbors, would remain sloped and untouched. So from the view of the neighbors, it would essentially look similar to what it is now. And the front portion that's raised is facing the courtyard of my own property. That's the main scope of work, and then the other scope was to fill in an existing light well and jog in the building, but it would all fall under the same footprint that is currently there, so the footprint wouldn't change. The front stairs would just change in location, where the existing stairwell comes out into the courtyard, and then we're proposing to turn the stairwell 90 degrees and go parallel to the rear structure, just to give a little more room for the courtyard.
Can you speak a bit to the proposed work for the front building?
So the front building was not under this variance process. However, the front building is a historical building, and I am proposing to do a horizontal addition for the front unit, making it from a one-bedroom to a two-bedroom. The front facade would not change. It would just get pushed back into the rear and squared out, be more of a rectangular structure. The height would not change either. I don't have any drawings for the front unit. I do have a site plan.
The site plan does show an area where it would be extended to.
Okay, yes, correct. Right. So I will put the site plan up on the screen. Mm-hmm. Okay. I believe the set that I brought doesn't show the existing structure on the site plan, even though the latest set does. I apologize.
I have it here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we maintain the 25 feet distance between the front structure and the rear deck, but mm-hmm. the stairs encroach a little bit onto that 25 feet.
Correct. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Is there any public comment on this item?
Please approach the mic, sir. You have 3 minutes.
Hello, I live adjacent to the proposed project. I would like to, first of all, state that his project will be facing the neighbors. It faces my bedroom. There's been 18 months of construction already at this site. We haven't been able to open our windows for a very long time because of the dust and the noise. He's going to block our remaining sea view out our window when he raises that front of his building. And he will block the sunlight onto our backyard with the raised roof. There's already a non-conforming building. Our backyard already does not get a lot of sunlight. We're having a hard time. We wanted to plant vegetables with our son this year and raised beds. We've held off doing that because of the construction, and now we're concerned we're not going to have enough light to continue with our project because of the raised roof. So I would like to oppose this project and have them denied the variance if possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Okay. Project sponsor, if you wish, you have 3 minutes to address those comments if you like.
So the current height of the structure is about 27 feet at the peak of the roof. And I'm proposing not necessarily so much to raise the structure. The structure is getting raised approximately 2 feet. However, it's only 2 feet in height. It's the flattening of the roof that we'll be doing. So we're not raising the height any more than approximately 2 feet. So you're saying that that 2 feet is the issue?
The slope is the issue.
Okay, so the sun, I know east is facing the street, west is facing the back of the house, it's south facing sun. So you're at the property
to the north.
To the north, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, yeah, I don't see how it could affect it the way you state, but yeah, that's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you. I will close the public comment. Yeah, I mean, this is a bit of an unusual development pattern for this lot, but there is, other than this building already in its required rear yard, this is a fairly decently established rear mid-block open space. I would like to take a little bit more time to review the concerns of the neighbor, but also just review the project in detail. And so I will be taking this matter under advisement. Obviously, I would encourage you both to chat with each other, make sure there's a clear understanding of any concerns from the neighbors. Thank you.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2019-001228 VAR, 49 Broad Street, rear yard variance sought. Can 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. How's it going, Corey? I haven't seen you in a while.
Hello.
Drake Gardner, sponsor for this project. Here's some support letters from neighbors. What we're asking for here is a rear yard variance that will allow us to build a roof structure on this building that will accommodate living space that will basically look like this. And this bottom diagram shows the difference between this proposal that we're bringing before you today and our original proposal. We've essentially reduced the volume by 43%. What makes this unique is, first of all, that the structure actually exists in the back of the lot. And it also butts up against another structure that's similar. To what we're proposing. So we feel that, you know, it fits into the block content. Also, it's towards the end of the block. And San Jose is unique that it angles across, so it creates this area in here where there's also additional use of the rear yard. This structure here actually has full use of their rear yard. My client proposed to live here. Adding this extra space will allow him to do that for a longer period of time and rent out the house in the front so he can actually afford to live there. He's also got family members that eventually are going to occupy the property. So we feel it's a unique way to provide affordable housing for the client. I know it's cliche, but it's true here in this case. So that's basically our presentation. And we've gone over the design multiple times with the design review department, and they feel that they're willing to support this. So there we have it.
Thank you. Can you, so right now, the is there a habitable second floor to this rear building?
Is there a habitable second floor in the rear building?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so there's basically just essentially attic space there now that you're going to be making habitable through this project.
Yeah, okay. And we're going to do it through a roof structure, not a extra floor.
Right, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I will close the public comment. Yeah, as you mentioned, I think the original design was a little more extensive. There's been a lot of work with the design review team to find a middle ground where it still provides that additional habitable space to have a more reasonable home there without being too impactful in the rear mid-block open space for this block. This does have a fairly large mid-block open space, so there is a little flexibility there. And as you mentioned, this does abut a similar building on an adjacent property, so I would be inclined to grant this variance with the standard conditions.
Thank you.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2018-014788 VAR, 310 to 320 Woodside Avenue. And this is a lot size variance. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Daniel Ewald with ETA SF Architecture. And the variance that we are requesting is at 420 Woodside Avenue. The current lot is a very unique and I would say underutilized lot. It is originally there was a street that was vacated. And I'm not sure why the, let me move the light here.
The glare from the light.
Yeah, okay. Originally there was a street, Fowler Avenue, that was vacated, and half of that street was added to the lot at 420 Woodside. The other half was added to three lots on Ulloa Street. This street also had a water line running through it, still has a water line running through it, which has created a 15-foot easement that goes through the site. You can see in green there, well, in the dark dashed line, you can see the water pipe. And then in green is the former Fowler Avenue. And we're requesting a variance because if we were to, for the lot area, which is would be required to be 4,000 square feet, if we were to create a lot that was 4,000 square feet outside of the easement, the dark area you see on these drawings would be the only buildable area for any additional volume of space. So it's an extremely small sliver of space and then a 4-foot sliver up against the adjacent properties. I also, just before I get into any more, I wanted to clarify a couple things. First off, the variance notification went out saying that 320 Woodside would be demolished, and it in fact is not being demolished. It is just an addition, a third story addition. The original drawings also went out with a 4-story building at 310 and an expansion to four stories at 320. We have since had a residential design team review and have since revised the drawings to be 2 3-story buildings. We've also reduced the glazing area on the west side from 44% to 25% at the residential design team's request as well. And I just wanted to make sure that you have the current set of drawings. I have a set if you need it.
Yes, I have a full set, thank you.
Okay, excellent. Let's see. So I think the other issues that come up here is that basically this project is trying to create infill housing, and with the housing shortage in the city currently and for some time, we think that that is generally the direction of city policy and general planning. and is to the betterment of the neighborhood and the community. We also just wanted to point out that the existing condition, this unusual situation with the lot and the easement, are what necessitate the variance. It's not something that the client has brought to this property, which is one of the requirements. And also, I just wanted to point out that there is the existing church, which is sort of a monolith on the block and sort of the character defining element. So anything that we're doing is sort of in literally in the shadow of that. And then that leads me to I know there are some neighbors that have commented on shadows and light, and we have prepared shadow studies, and I'm happy to review those with you for both the neighbors on Uloa and the neighbors, adjacent neighbors on Woodside, to show that there is a very small delta in existing shadows and the shadows that that would be the additional shadows created by an additional third story in this construction. And then lastly, I was just going to say that the easement itself being 15 feet wide and then having 4 feet from the easement to the property line create an exceptionally large buffer between this project and the adjacent properties. So, and that's kind of how any shadows or light issues are minimized.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. I'm Thomas Libby. I live at 330 Woodside, adjacent to the east. I have submitted some written thoughts on this, which I hope have been have found their way to your desk for consideration. Essentially, I am opposed to the proposed twin towers because of the injurious adverse impact on the adjacent properties, including my own and my family. Principal concern is the height. There is additional concern with just the commotion than the nonsense and the potential impact in terms of it's insufficiently set back in order to enable the proposed construction without being significantly disruptive. But principally it is the height. Submitted, I have not seen the reference shadow studies. I have submitted my own lay presentation as to where the azimuth of the sun as it traverses across the sky to the west. There is a very limited window of direct sunlight. We're concerned with the going from the current two-story to the proposed three-story or four-story is going to limit that to essentially zero. There's going to be no sunlight either in the yard, the front door, or the only one west-facing window. Concerned about ventilation, but principally light. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Okay, seeing no other public comment, project sponsor, you have 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Sure. Excuse me. And I apologize, I have not seen this letter. I've only seen the previous letter. But I did want to share with you.
Speak to the mic.
Sorry, I did want to share with you some additional shadow studies that we have created for the properties to the east, and significantly they show the delta of there is significant shadow in this area, and it's predominantly created by the church. This is the spring equinox, which is sort of a middle point. Obviously, there is winter, the winter solstice, which is the worst case, and then there's summer, which is the best. But if we scroll through, you can actually see this as an animation. And in a moment, like we're starting at 2:30 in the afternoon here, and there is no change based on the existing for the previous part of the day. You will start to see a little, it's appearing on the screen almost as a white area that's just between the two buildings. And then you'll start to see that grow a little bit. And now you can see it in the backyard. And it's actually on the adjacent property at 330. And then this goes until basically sunset. And this also assumes that that there's no fog or clouds or anything like that, so on a very clear day. So we can provide this. This was generated yesterday. I'm happy to answer any other questions.
Okay, thank you. Can you let me know, has the building permit for the new home and the alteration to the existing home, have those been submitted?
It is imminent.
Imminent, okay.
We're waiting for the residential design team comments to be incorporated.
Gotcha.
And then okay. 311 obviously goes
right,
after that.
Right. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. So to that point, again, the only thing in front of me today is the proposal to split the lot. That's what's requiring the variance. The proposed alteration to the existing home and the new construction on the potentially new lot are proposed to be co-compliant and not require any variances, and those will go through full design review and will be subject to 311 notification, and obviously there's a whole procedure there to deal with any potential concerns regarding height, scale, shadows, et cetera. But for the purpose today, it's really focused on whether or not the five findings are met to create a lot that's less than 4,000 square feet. And specifically to that issue, for many of the reasons that you raised, obviously there's a substantial, not a right-of-way, but an easement that is not likely to go away anytime soon.
We've tried. It's very expensive.
And not only that, then like you said, it kind of there's a little bit of leftover space downslope that's, for all practical purposes, is basically part of the easement. Can't really be developed itself. This is also on the downhill slope portion and very far setback from the next building downhill, so you're not theoretically creating a new lot that's going to be very tight within that context. So again, any issues related to the proposed buildings aside, which will have their own process separately, I am supportive of the variance for lot size and would intend to grant that with the standard conditions.
Thank you very much.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2017-004068 VAR, 427 to 431 Pier Street, exposure variance sought. You're the project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you.
We're proposing to add one ADU to the basement level of an existing three-story, six-unit building per section code 140. It doesn't have the required 9 feet in width and depth. As you'll see from this picture here, to the north, we have 7'7". However, to the building there, it is actually 10'3". In between. So to the south, it's actually 5 feet to the property line, but to the shortest point here, to the adjacent building, it's 13'3". And at the longest point, it's 21 feet, 3 inches. And more importantly, to the west, it's a 5 foot property line. However, as you'll see here, it's actually 41 feet, 1 inches at the shortest point. So there are currently 10 windows that are proposed for this ADU. So there'll be no change in the light or exposure. And to summarize, it's really a property line issue as 1007 fell. And this,
can you speak into that? You can move the mic if you want.
Sorry.
While you're down there. There you go.
1007 fell, 1003, 1001 fell, are owned by the same property owner. I'm free for any questions.
Yeah, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, then I will close the public comment. So the existing space where you want to add the ADU is currently used as a garage?
That's correct.
How is that garage accessed currently?
I'm actually not too sure on that point, I'm afraid. But I can definitely give you that answer later today.
Okay, because it seems like there's no garage access off of Pierce. So I didn't know if somehow there was access provided through the adjacent property, since it's all under similar ownership. Okay. And there's like some, you know, because there is a curb, it seems there is a curb cut off of Fell.
Yep.
And there's space along the edge there that will be used to access, or that is perhaps currently used to access this garage space. And do you know, right now, the basement floor plan shows those two parking spaces, but it doesn't really address the rest of the space. Do you know, is it currently used for storage?
Yes, or? I believe it is for storage, yes.
Okay. Okay. And I believe the other ADUs that are being created on the adjacent properties under the same ownership,
yes,
are basically able to meet the minimum requirements for
that's
exposure.
That's correct.
And this is the only unit that does not.
That's correct.
And so there's a, in a way, even though the properties are all currently under single ownership, they don't have to stay that way in the future, obviously. Yeah. But if you look at this as a collective property, if it was all a single property, then this unit would meet exposure requirements and would not require a variance.
A variance, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I want to double check the parking access, partly just to make sure if there's any curb cut on Fell that's there for the primary purpose to provide access to these parking spaces that once, if an ADU is approved here, that curb cut would also be closed off. But other than that, I think the arguments that you know, you make in your application and today, and kind of the unique layout and nature of this space, and just the kind of huge amount of basement level storage space. I like a certain amount of storage space. I think it has value. I think there's obviously can be too much. And so in this situation, I would support granting the variance with standard conditions.
Thank you very much.
Moving to item 11, case number 2018-016554 VAR. 1606 Jones Street, exposure variance sought. Project sponsor?
Good morning, Mr. Teague. Jeremy Paul on behalf of the project sponsor. It's a major remodel underway on this apartment building that has been had years and years of deferred maintenance, and in determining what should properly be done with the basement area, the apparent the code complying decision would have been to create habitable space as part of the upper unit. And that's what we originally proposed. In talking with staff, the suggestion that this could really be more productive and useful as an ADU. There were some expenses involved in doing that, meeting building code and fire code for an additional unit. And the property owner saw this as an opportunity to provide additional housing in a very useful way. The need for smaller units on Russian Hill, the demand for smaller individual residences in situations like this versus larger apartments is pretty clear in that neighborhood. So we've opted to propose this as an ADU. The exposure issue, well, these kind of buildings typically have small backyards. Having lived in one for many years, I sort of became accustomed to the backyard being the dog, the tenant's dog's bathroom, little domain back there. It's not productive backyard area. It can be used, but never tends to be. If you can take a look at the photograph I've put up on the screen, it gives you a perspective of what this unit opens out onto. It faces a large mid-block open space. So there is direct eastward exposure. So it does get good light and ventilation, but it doesn't face its own property, meeting the minimum standards of the code. That's all I really have to share with you.
Thank you. Is there anyone here from the public who would like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. So these are interesting proposals because we obviously, the Board of Supervisors adopted a reduced exposure requirement that they determined was, you know, a minimum amount that should be able to be approved administratively. As you mentioned, this is obviously less than that. It might be able to still function as a decent ADU, but I've definitely been taking kind of a very strong look at these, and I'm going to continue to do so, and I will take this on under advisement.
Moving to item number 12, case number 2016-007135 VAR, 1582 to 1584 Fulton Street, rear yard and open space variances sought.
Good morning, Mr. Teague. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak here today. My name is Ann Sim. I'm one of the owners at the 1582 and 1584 Fulton Street, and I'm representing the owners of the building to present our project and seek variance to legalize our existing deck in our rear yard. So background is that this deck has been in our backyard for a long, long time, for decades. We don't know exactly what year it was built, but it was already there when the current owners moved into the building about 13 years ago. And it was already there when the previous owner bought the property years before that. So the deck has been, it was built well and has been holding up very well. And there has never been any neighbor concern or complaint about it. And we are actually voluntarily bring this out to get the deck permitted. And we are gonna make any necessary fixes to the deck and to make it legal and safe. So the scope of the project is that we are not proposing to make additional structure or demolish any structure or any additional height to the deck or make this existing deck any bigger. So actually, in fact, our plan is to make the deck smaller to follow the code and recommendation by planning department and the city building department. And there will be absolutely no change to the building at all. So we have been working with the planning and building department on this for, you know, quite some time. And last year, residential design advisory team had a meeting to review this case and gave us a review report indicating that they are in support of keeping the existing deck, but advised us to check side and rear setback. So since then, we have been working with planning and building department to understand the requirement. And according to the code, and also we are asked to create 3 feet setback on the side and rear of the deck, which is about 4 inches more than the current setback we have of 2 feet and 8 inches. So the project is to make the modification to the deck to basically bring the deck and the deck stairs inward to make it smaller by 4 inches on each side of the deck to meet the requirement of that 3 feet setback and to get it legalized. So that is basically the whole scope of this project. So in terms of asking for a variance, I would like to respectfully ask zoning administration to consider the following few aspects. So I like to put up kind of picture, the satellite picture of our property.
You can pull the microphone down with you and as you use the overhead.
So the first thing that I want to kind of mention is that our deck is very much similar in size and placement to the decks in the neighboring properties, as you can see in the satellite picture. So this is our property, and this is our little deck. And the property on the left to the left, right, and all those in the neighboring properties have the similar deck. Some of them even, you know, much larger than us. So that's kind of one of the points that I wanted to make. And secondly, so as mentioned, there hasn't been any neighbor concern or complaint about the deck. The deck is not any taller or bigger to negatively impact neighbors' quality of life. And so I wanted to show another satellite picture in kind of different angle. So in terms of the neighbors, so on the left and on the right, they both have similar deck, right and left side of our deck. And the property behind us, so the property behind, it's just a big wall, much taller and bigger than our property or our deck. So there shouldn't be any negative impact.
Okay, thank you very much. I will see first if there's anyone here from the public who would like to speak on this item. Okay, seeing none, I will close the public comment. If you wanted another minute just to finish what your thoughts are, that's fine.
One more point. So this deck is a two-story building. Upper deck is owned by the unit upstairs. Lower deck is owned by the unit downstairs. So actually, our rear yard itself does not have 25 feet of depth. So the variance is necessary for us to have some kind of deck structure with stairs and landing for us to have our second means of egress. And also, the deck we have are the only outdoor space for the unit above and unit below, where we can both enjoy some outdoor space in some private and independent setting. So I like this opportunity to make our deck that we very much need and enjoy legal.
Okay, thank you. Just quickly, going back to the potential need for a firewall, the most current plans don't show the full 3-foot setback, but you're saying you have been in conversation with DBI, and that if you do pull it back to 3 feet, that they will not require a firewall.
It's already reviewed by fire department, and mm-hmm. they signed it off.
Okay. So just to be clear, there's no proposal for a firewall along that property line. I mean, it's not on the plans.
It's not.
Okay.
So we are told that 3 feet of setback is sufficient
enough
to mitigate
okay.
that.
Right. And as you mentioned on the current plans, the most recent plans, it's only like 2 feet 9 inches, but you're proposing to take that in enough to make 3 feet.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, with that, as you mentioned, these stair structures, especially in this scenario, these rear yards are really extremely boxed in by the adjacent building in the rear, and they don't have a good connection to the mid-block open space. And so, you know, just providing ground floor common or at-grade common open space could be a little substandard here. So I can understand the need for wanting to have more usable open space there. Having said that, I mean, the upper unit has a open and unenclosed deck. The lower unit will be below this upper deck, so it's going to be limited in terms of, you know, how much light and air it receives for the purposes of open space. So I'm going to, and I do want to follow up on the firewall issue just with our staff, just to make sure I'm super clear. I'm generally supportive of, you know, some kind of deck structure back here for all those reasons, but I do want to just check in on those other two issues. So I'm generally supportive, but I'm going to take it under advisement just to check on those details before we come out with a formal decision.
Thank you. Just one comment. The mm-hmm. downstairs owner very like the current setup of the deck. Mm-hmm. He enjoy having his private independent space more so than having any more light,
sure,
per se.
Okay, thank you.
Moving to the last item in our calendar, item number 13, case number 2018-009175-VAR, 3610 Washington Street. And this is a rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Hello. Hi, my name is Alexandria Marchetti, and this is my husband, Kevin. I wanted to introduce the project since we're the owners of 3610 Washington Street. Thank you so much for taking a look at our plans. We bought the home 3 years ago, and we moved in as a party of four, and in 8 weeks, we're going to be a party of six. So these, our plans allow us to live in the house that we love, in the neighborhood that we love, and just accommodate for our growing family. So with that, I'm going to introduce to you Matthew Shanks from Walker Warner Architects and also Alan Murphy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So we're requesting a rear yard variance. Basically, this is a historic.
Can you please speak close to the mic?
This is a historic William Wooster project. It's a Category A project. This was done before the current zoning laws were put in place, and the bulk of the mass was built in the beyond the rear yard setback. And so we're looking for the variance to fill in some spaces back there where we're the only space where we're allowed to add mass to the building. So you can see from this diagram here, these are the areas where we're trying to fill in. Both the neighbors currently have a similar variance. So you can see this garage built out in the rear back here. And then we're adding, on this corner here, we're adding 60 square feet per each floor, so a total of 120 square feet.
Can you please pull the mic?
Oh, sorry. On the right side here, we're adding 60 square feet per each floor for a total of 120 square feet. And on the left side, we're adding 11 square feet per floor for a total of 22 square feet. And then at the basement level, this is all below grade. We have this space here where we're adding 1,240 square feet. So this is the plans where you can see how we're filling these corners in. Sorry, can you see that? So this is the first floor. That's that corner I mentioned where we have 11 square feet. And on the bottom corner, this is right up against the neighbor's garage, we're adding 60 square feet. And on the second level, we have that corner again where we're adding 11 square feet and 60 square feet to the corner next to the neighbor's garage. Finally, I'll show you a diagram where you can see the neighbors. Focus there. I'm not sure why that's not focusing. There we go. So here you can see 3636 Washington, where they have a garage back there that currently has a variance granted. And on the other corner here, you can see 3600 Washington, where they have a garage, where they have a similar variance. So both neighbors enjoy the same kind of variance that we're requesting for this project.
Thank you. Alan Murphy from Perkins Coie on behalf of the project sponsor. As Matt mentioned, the existing residence occupies the entire length of the property, and one of the residence's character-defining features, in fact, is its long length, which gives the structure a horizontal orientation, and the street facade is of low-sloped side gable roofs. As a result, possibilities for the expansion on the property are highly constrained, and this circumstance is uncommon in other Presidio Heights homes, most of which have much more of a vertical orientation. These provide exceptional circumstances, and they're not attributable to the property owner. This is a property with historic features that the department will ensure are preserved, and it would create a significant hardship to the property owner and their growing family to enforce the rear yard requirements literally here. Substantial vertical expansion fundamentally would alter the architectural design of the property, but horizontal expansion in the rear, as enabled by a variance, will be consistent with the character-defining features. The variance is fully consistent with the scale of expansion available to other residences in the RH1 district. In addition, the expansion will be minimally intrusive. It will have little to no impact on surrounding neighbors or the public. The rear basement expansion is below grade on three sides, and it will have no effect on the building's bulk or mass, as it simply captures unexcavated space. And the 142 combined square feet at the first and second levels will not be visible from the public right-of-way. It does not significantly affect the building's mass. So in conclusion, we'd request respectfully that the variance be granted from the rear yard setbacks. The expansion proposed under the variance is minor. It would have minimal impacts on neighbors and the public. It enables preservation of the residence's historic features. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public who'd like to speak on this item? Okay, I'm seeing none. I will close the public comment on this item. This is obviously a unique scenario here for a lot of the reasons that you laid out. The rear focus of the building, the fact that it's a Class A historic resource. I know you've worked closely with our preservation staff and our other design staff to come to a design that the department is supportive of and feel is consistent with the Secretary of Interior's standards as well as the residential design guidelines. You also have the unique context that you mentioned with your adjacent buildings. And so for all those considerations, I would be inclined to grant the variance with the standard conditions. Thank you.
And that's the last item.
Unless, would anyone like to speak general public comment on any item that was not on the agenda today? Now is your opportunity. It's public comment. You can come up and sing a song in praise of the Warriors for 3 minutes. Is that how long you? Yeah, 3 minutes. Okay. All right. Seeing no general public comment, this hearing is adjourned.